We're joined by Mike Burns. He's the University of Minnesota men's gymnastics coach, been on campus now for over 20 years. Had a little bit of a change of role, so to speak, a few years ago. And the story we're going to tell today is one of response, perseverance, and really growth. Mike Burns, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Mike, we've had a long and great relationship, and it's so good to see you. It's been a while, as we were just talking, and I listen to you every week and love what always comes out of your mouth. It's just, I mean, you got such a gift. And to be here with you is just a real pleasure.
Well, back in the day would do those coaches' caravans, and you and I were usually the hit of the, well, I should say this way, I usually made you the hit of the of the event, because as a gymnastics coach, you have some skill. You were a gymnast yourself, and I don't remember how it came about. I think you just told me that you could stand on your hands for a minute or something, and so we would introduce you, and you would walk up to the stage to give your presentation on your hands, and the people just loved it.
Well, I would walk up on my feet, and then you would sort of stop me.
And
you would halt me.
We
had this all kind of prearranged, right? And it's like, well, hang on, coach. You know, aren't you going to come up a different way? I was like, okay.
Yeah. So we get the crowd. Hey, who wants to see this?
Right. I felt like the Mike Grimm Circus Monkey Show.
That was it. You used to say that, the old dog and pony show that we would go on the road with. And then I would always tease you a little bit and say, hey, how about that 70-year-old Mike Burns? Which, of course, you were not. Although now we're many years later, all getting closer to that number
close.
As well.
I'm getting close. I remember one time I asked you on the bus to one of the stations we were going to, and I said, Mike, you know, when you interview us, you hang on to that microphone pretty hard, and one of the coaches kind of grabbed it from you once, and he was like, yeah, don't do that. You were pretty adamant. So at one of the stops, I think it was down at near Rochester, I grabbed the microphone from you, and I walked like 10 feet away from you, and you were getting a little bit sweaty under the brow there.
Yeah,
and you're like, what's he doing with my microphone?
You never know, right?
It was kind of a fun time. We always made a fun time out of it.
We did indeed. Well, we mentioned we're going to tell a story of rebound, response, perseverance, growth, all those things. We can't tell the total story without telling the first story.
Yeah.
And that was, I suppose, after the 2021 varsity men's gymnastics season at Minnesota, the athletic department of the university made the decision to cut, in a cost-cutting move, cut your program.
Yeah.
In essence, your program was cut. You were without work. And now what? So we bring that up only as a backdrop.
Right.
I mean, there's been many stories done about that. People want to watch that part of it. For our purpose today, though, we want to talk about how amazing this bounce back has been for men's gymnastics in a different way, but a totally cool way.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I kind of always had the hope and dream that we could get the program reinstated. That hope and dream is dwindling as the days go on. However, I realized in order to do that, we were going to need to maintain a program on campus, which we did. We transitioned into a competitive club program that's now underneath the watchful eye of recreation and wellness under the Office of Student Affairs. So we're in a different category on campus as we used to be. And that has, you know, we have resources, we have support, we have people in our camp that are looking out for us, which is kind of nice. And prior to that, we were a registered student organization, which really didn't have much affiliation with the university. Now we're called a Campus Life Program. And the difference is we can actually use the Block M on our uniforms. Mm-hmm. We can call ourselves the University of Minnesota Men's Gymnastics Club Team. But we also compete under the in the GymAct League, Gymnastics Association of Competitive Teams. And basically, like-minded programs around the country, there's 16 of us now. When I first got in, there were maybe about 10 of us. When they first started in 2018, there was only six. So there's been incredible growth within GymAct. The same year that our program was dropped, the University of Iowa was dropped as well, and they also joined the GymAct League. So I think those two programs, coming from, you know, pretty long history of
good teams,
competition, and great athletes and, you know, Olympians from here at the University of Minnesota, I think that helped not legitimize but just strengthen the league itself. And it continues to grow, which is really pretty awesome. I'm actually the president of the GymAct League right now, which is just one more of my responsibilities. But I like to be in charge of things, and I like to have some say in how things move forward. But anyway, within 3 years of being a GMAC team, we were national champs. That was in 2024. And when we came back from the national championships, pretty happy about where we finished, we had to move out of Cook Hall, which was right. our training
on
gym,
campus. Which had been also where the varsity team all those years you were the coach.
Since Cook Hall opened back in 1936, I believe.
Pretty cozy spot even for varsity standards, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was a small little closet of a place, but we made it work, and
right.
we obviously had great things going on in that space. So anyway, the 2025 season, we were without a home. So we ended up commuting to Minnehop's Gymnastics in Plymouth, North Shore Gymnastics out in Maple Plain, and Twin City Twisters up in Champlin. And those three gyms just opened their arms and their doors and allowed us to come in and train, which if it wasn't for that, I don't know what we would have done. We would have probably had to fold up the tent and, start going back to delivering packages for Shipt and Ubering I did for a couple of years. So I give them a whole lot of kudos for allowing us to be part of their facilities, and we got a lot of guys, and they're big guys, so they're putting a lot of stress on the equipment, but that was really the thing that kind of kept us going. And it was challenging logistically, very challenging getting these five guys to go to Minnehop's from 12:30 to 3:30, then these 10 guys to go to North Shore from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And who's got a car, who can drive, and
middle of winter
and driving through the Lowry Hill Tunnel at rush hour, is those of you who have done it are cringing with me as we speak, I'm sure.
I'm getting butterflies in my stomach thinking about it.
So anyway, it was just a lot of challenges. And so we went to Nationals in 2025 and came up a little short. We ended up second place. So we were national runner-ups the year after we won. And, in 2018, when we were a varsity team, we took second place. It was the happiest second place team I'd ever seen. But this past year, we were second place, and we were kind of the saddest second place team I'd ever coached. So it's just a different frame of reference. And having won it the year before and, had a lot of All-Americans and several national champions, it was just kind of a letdown. But kind of, I always feel that disappointment drives action. And, it's a good emotion. And I think if you can find a way to use disappointment to your advantage, it can really come back in spades at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you have taught, your athletes, great lessons through this. So now, after all that, driving all over the place last season, you have found a more permanent base
now.
Tell us about that.
We have a new home. interesting turn of events. For that whole year that we were commuting, we were looking at spaces and warehouse spaces that had proper zoning and high enough ceiling heights and clear span and a place that we could set up our gymnastics equipment. And because in 2024, we had to load up all the equipment from Cook Hall and put it in a truck, and we had it all over the place. And we just finally have been able to bring it back to a place, a central location that we can call home. It's the Fairview Business Center on Fairview Avenue North in St. Paul. It's just up the street from University Ave, where there's a light rail station, which is really nice, so our guys can get there from campus. It's about 3 miles, so it's not the commute we were doing before. It's still a little bit of a commute.
Yeah. The light rail takes a minute or two.
Yeah, it takes a couple of minutes. Yeah. And but we have set up all of our equipment, and our guys are training there. But in order to be able to afford a place like that, we're also going to be starting a gym called Foundation Gymnastics. And that's going to be our recreation and preschool classes that are going to, drive some revenue, help us pay for the space. And the Friends of Minnesota Men's Gymnastics, a nonprofit organization that we created after we were dropped. That's kind of the overarching umbrella that's sort of keeping an eye on us all. We signed the lease and we're paying the rent, and the Foundation Gymnastics will be a part of that. And we're really looking forward to getting things up and running. We haven't opened Foundation yet because we're still waiting on some equipment. We got all the men's equipment from Cook Hall, but we needed women's equipment, so we were able to purchase some balance beams and some uneven bars. And, we took all of the mats we had in Cook Hall, and it's just not enough, so we had to order some more. And sometimes the delivery is a little slow, so I was just on the phone on the way over here to talk to you, Mike, with my equipment guy, saying, yeah, we should be getting some of those mats in hopefully next week. And So it's been, kind of kicking the can down the road. We were hoping we could open in September. That was pretty aggressive. Then October, and that was a little aggressive. And now we're in November.
Yeah.
hopefully we can get open before Thanksgiving. But, it's going to happen. And if it's happening, next week or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it'll happen. And I'm hoping eventually I can look back at this stressful time of my life and go, yeah, we made it through that, and look at where we're at now.
Yeah, and so your hope then with that, the foundation part of it, is that young gymnasts, aspiring gymnasts, will pay for training through some very high expertise folks, right?
Yep.
And how can people, if there's a mom and dad out there listening out of the podcast, say, oh, well, this sounds like, my son or daughter's interested in gymnastics. Tell us the age group again that you're kind of shooting for and how people can get info.
Yeah, the preschool age group will be age 2 to 5. We're not going to go younger than 2. That's a little early. Yeah. I know some clubs do, but we're not quite prepared for that.
Yeah.
And then the recreation level kids will be from age 6 up to 15 or older. But we're just trying to get some kids to understand the benefits of movement and motion and understand what their bodies are capable of. And gymnastics is such a great vehicle, and there's rolling and there's balancing and there's strength and there's agility and all kinds of things that we can help kids with in terms of getting a little more comfortable in their own skin.
I mean, you think, 100%, and you think even about the foundational aspect of all the movements gymnastics does. If you have a son or daughter that you want to be interested in sports, or they're interested in sports, at that age, they may not. They may become a football player. They may become a basketball player. They might become a swimmer. Hopefully, they become a gymnast. But whatever it is, there's no denying that the base instruction, the strength building, the agility, that training can benefit whatever sport or activity a young kid grows into.
Without a doubt, Mike, I couldn't have said it any better. And next time I need to say it, I'll give you a call, because that was really well done, by the way. And you had asked earlier, how people can get a hold of us. But we have a website, www.foundationgym.org. So foundationgym.org. And we probably have about 50 families that have created, contacts in our class registration system. They're all waiting for the time that I say, okay, we're starting this particular Monday. So I hope it just goes and fills up. So there's a lot of interest. The building that we're in, the Fairview Business Center, the gymnastics connection was kind of amazing, because our real estate broker was reaching out to different people, and this place became available, and he reached out and mentioned that the Minnesota Men's Gymnastics Program was looking for a space. Oh, is that the one that's coached by Mike Burns? He's like, well, yeah, you know him? He goes, yeah, my sister was a gymnast at the U, and she married a guy gymnast at the U by the name of Tim LaFleur. So Tim and Randy LaFleur, who are some of our like best alumni and great friends, are related to the owner of the building. So it just was meant to be.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Yeah. That's awesome. So how does it look now? You guys are training, the team's training. Do you like the setup?
I love the setup. We kind of modeled it a little bit after Cook Hall. But we have more space, which is good. Cook Hall, we had about 4,800 square feet. We got about 14,000 square feet here.
Wow.
Now, part of that, about 4,000 of that, is kind of dedicated to the rec and girls program, which obviously our guys wouldn't be working on the balance beam or whatnot. But one of the things that's been just amazing, Mike, was the outpouring of help from the gymnastics community. And just everybody's like, hey, what can we do to help? Hey, I got this piece of equipment at a gym that I have, and you want it? I don't need it. It's in the way. You can have it. So I'll get a truck and go up there. Yesterday, we actually rented a U-Haul truck and took some of the equipment that we had been storing in the basement of the old Bell Museum on campus. So like I said, we had things kind of all over town. I have to check my mental inventory, make sure we got it all.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of stuff in the gym. We're trying to, we're obviously adding preschool equipment and girls equipment, so it's a little bit different than what we were used to. But it's really going to be kind of a full-service gymnastics club.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, your season starts in January, so you guys are working out and training.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
Tell me your prospects of the season coming up. You mentioned second place last year was a disappointment, so I'm guessing you have high hopes again.
We do. Yeah, the guys have created an awesome team culture. And they are diligent. They're hardworking. They're great students. We had a 3.5 team GPA last year for the year. We had about 9 or 10 GMAT academic All-Americans, and a lot of engineers and business majors and guys want to go to med school. And I tell them all, I said, okay, I want you guys to all go out and get a great job because one day I'm going to ask you for big donations
money.
To keep this thing going. So we're excited that they're able to, you know, come to the University of Minnesota and get a great education and obviously go out and become successful citizens. And but, you know, I'd like to think that what we do in that gym every day is setting them up for success in life. You know, right now we're setting themselves up for success in this competition season. And as you mentioned, we start in mid-January at the Windy City Invitational in Chicago, which has been going on for over 50 years.
I was going to say, I remember talking to you about the Windy City every year, it seemed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, okay, so the first weekend in February, we have a really challenging weekend. We're taking half of our team to Philadelphia for the Fred Turoff Invitational at Temple University. And then the other half will go out to Boulder, Colorado for the Extreme Altitude Invitational out there. So I don't know which guys are going where yet.
Yeah.
And so we're in the point where we have to start buying airline tickets. And I'm like, oh, just really stressed out about that. And so we'll figure it out. We have one of our guys on our team, Luke Peterson. He's our travel coordinator. We have a group of officers for the club, and Luke's been dealing with all the travel arrangements, which is a lot of work. You know, these kids are learning real life lessons, you know, in terms of creating or being part of something that's bigger than them and having a hand in it. You know, their fingerprints are all over it. Jack Gagamov, a junior from Chicago, he's our president of our club. He's been just amazing in terms of his diligence and his he's like got this project management mentality, so he's great to have in the gym. Yeah. We were at the gym till about 9 o'clock last night doing some stuff, trying to hang some stuff from the rafters and getting the rings up. And
yeah.
So it's still not 100% complete, but we're getting there. And these guys, you know, getting back to your original question, what are sights? You know, we kind of every year – you want to win that national title. I mean, once you get a taste of it, it's hard to not get that taste out of your mouth.
Right.
I mean, somebody could wash my mouth out with soap, but I'd still be tasting what that national title tasted like.
Yeah, that's a great flavor.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you know, having your athletes become productive, in this setting, it's probably, as you mentioned, as good of a teaching instrument for real life as there is. You mentioned there's literally business aspects of this club that students mm-hmm. are now in charge of. I'm sure a lot of these guys are helping you move this gear. Let's hop in the U-Haul. We need to help here and that. And, I mean, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on. My other question on this is, now, when you guys were funded by the athletic department, I don't remember what was the total scholarship you guys got, like
6.3. Yeah.
So some of these guys were getting schooling paid. How are these guys that compete for you now? Is it they're all financial aid or whatever? No scholarships or anything like that. So this is really the love of the sport deal here,
without a doubt. And there's a certain purity to it that I kind of really admire and mm-hmm. love, because you know, they're not getting a lot. You know, I'm giving them finally a place to train, some coaching, you know, I think I know what I'm doing. And they're building it. They're building the culture because of their love for the sport and, you know, realizing they're not going to get a lot. You know, we get some gear we give them, but we're waiting on our uniforms. And so there's things about it, Mike, that are just kind of that purity of athletics that, you know, right now everything's kind of crazy in college
it
athletics.
Yeah.
And you know, all these coaches getting bought out, and I'm going, wow, that's a life I never dreamed of.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, so I really like the attitude of the guys and just their strength, you know, their internal strength and their desire to just be part of something that's bigger than them. And, you know, they're going to school. Like I said, a lot of them are in engineering and in pre-med and that kind of thing, so a lot of high-level guys. And, you know, they just keep coming back and wanting more. And you're right. We have to say, hey, like yesterday, we had to kind of cancel the first part of practice because we had to move a bunch of stuff with the U-Haul truck. Then I had to bring the truck back and gas it up and bring it back and finally get back to practice. Who's still here? And, you know, it's kind of crazy right now. And some of the practice time that we should be doing has been dedicated to setting this gym up.
Sure.
And I hope these guys come back in 20 years and go, yep, I remember setting that up.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
Funding-wise then, so obviously that has changed from when you were, a Division I sport per se. How does that work now? You're part of the university. Do you get any general funding for the club?
You know, through Recwell, we actually were surprised that we did get a chunk of money. Not a ton, but a decent amount, you know, so really helpful and thankful for that. So we created the Friends of Minnesota Men's Gymnastics, a nonprofit organization, and we've basically been fundraising through our alumni database for the last, going on 5 years now since they dropped the program in 2021. And that's been, oh my gosh, if it hasn't been for our alumni, I don't know where it would be. We also do some fundraising events with our guys. We set up and tear down equipment for girls' invitationals and boys' meets and things like that, and we're kind of entrenched in that, and it's really been cool because almost all the clubs in the state, girls or boys, are reaching out to us. Hey, would you like to do this? Because they know that, hey, we're getting good at it, and we get the job done, and we need the money, right? So there's always an opportunity to find a way to put some more money in the bank. We've also had some really generous donations from some private foundations that have been probably kept us afloat to a point where if it hadn't been for that, it might be a little bit different story. So, I think what happens, Mike, is this compelling story that we have.
It's amazing.
You know, and it's not about, looking for a pat on the back. It's really just like we teach our guys how to deal with adversity every day in the gym when they're working on a pommel horse routine. But the adversity that we've been facing is real, and it's real life, and it's like, wow, how did we do that? And it could have been real easy to just close up shop and go somewhere else and try to find a job. But I felt obligated. When Joel Maturi hired me in 2004.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you said, I've been here 20 years. I told him, I said, this is going to be my retirement job. So not quite retired.
Yeah.
Can't afford to do that yet. But I feel this sense of purpose when I'm here with this group of guys. And, they're counting on me. And, I guess I'd call myself a little bit of a nucleus, and things revolve around me because I think if I were to leave, I don't know if anybody else would do what we're doing here. So
you're keeping it going.
We're keeping it going.
Keeping it going.
I just feel like it's great to have an opportunity to tell the story. And I love your passion for what we're doing, Mike. I really do.
It's awesome because it is, like I said, it's a story of response. And like you say, that there was a lot of ways this could go once you got the bad news. And slowly and surely, you're working it. And as you said, the story is a good one to tell, too, because the lessons that are being – you've got guys – I mean, that's – you're an athlete competing at a high level. It's not that glamorous to go out and set up for a club meet somewhere, but you're doing it because you love the sport of gymnastics. That's why you're doing this, right? I mean, there's a love for teaching, for coaching, for the sport. In some cases, literally keeping it alive. We're down to what, 12 Division I men's
it's
teams?
Back up to 15.
Is it 15?
Actually, they brought in a couple of Division III schools online a couple of years ago.
Right.
So
well,
that's been good.
True. I was just talking like in terms of like what you would call real D1s, and then the D3s. They had to throw in there. You now have more in the Gym Act, right?
We do.
Yeah, which is pretty remarkable. But that's the whole story. Gymnastics is such a cool sport. It's for years. Every 4 years, everyone falls in love with it in the Olympics, and you're living it every day.
Yep, indeed, and. The thing that we provide through these Gym Act programs is opportunities for kids that have spent a lifetime dedicated to the sport who maybe just aren't going to get a spot on a NCAA program. And those spots are valuable. Scholarships are great, but roster spots are more valuable. We don't have guys jumping ship with the transfer portal in gymnastics. They find a place, they stay because there's loyalty that is strong in our sport, you know. And by providing those opportunities, we're keeping boys' gymnastics alive to a certain extent. You know, because there's kids out there that go, yeah, maybe this is not an opportunity for me at a college program. Maybe I'll jump ship like in ninth grade and do
play
something
hockey
else.
Or something. Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
Right? And so now all these kids are going, maybe this is not a spot for me in an NCAA program, but I think I can make that gym act team. Mm-hmm. And to have them all over the country so kids can stay locally. You know, we got our newest team is in North Carolina, the North Carolina Airmen. And, you know, they got about 10 kids on their team right now. A lot of kids just live through the program from young age up through senior in high school. Like, what am I going to do?
This is on the University of North Carolina campus then?
Well, no, it's just like a local club.
Of college
in,
kids.
I think, Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And some of them, you know, most of them are going to a school.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily affiliated with that school, with that team.
Yeah.
You know, the team is kind of a regional thing, right?
Gotcha.
So there's affiliated teams like ours that's affiliated with the University of Minnesota. Most of our guys, not all, but about 95% of them go to the University of Minnesota. But a team like the NC Airmen, you could have guys at UNC, you could Duke, you know, wherever, and they come together and they train as a group at a local club.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you recruit now? Can you do some of that? And how does that go, and how does the pitch go?
Yeah, well, recruiting's been really easy. There's a lot of kids out there that are very interested in what we're doing here at Minnesota. And, you know, we have a pretty – actually, our social media presence has diminished a little bit only because we're so busy getting this place going. But people understand who we are, what we are, the type of team we have, the type of gymnastics that we do, the type of coaching staff we have. And – so there's been a lot of interest, you know, and I got two recruits. Actually, I got a commitment just the other day for one kid, and I got to talk to him and his parents again tonight. Have a recruiting call with a kid from Texas, I believe, tonight. Just had a recruiting call last night, had another one from a kid from California on Saturday. So the interest is high. And, you know, most of these kids never even come close to being in Minnesota. I said, well, if you're going to think about coming here, you better come for a visit, and we can't pay that. You know, we can't give you an official visit. You got to come on your own dime and bring a parent, because when you and your parents see the same thing, you're both looking at it from a different lens. You know, and when you guys have your conversations on the plane ride home or the drive home, I want you to be able to, you know, talk about the shared experience and from the different ways you viewed it. And I think that's been really important. And you know, when the parents come with the kid, I love that, because I'll sit and talk to that parent for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Practice will be going on. I have the kid work out. We can do that at Gym Act. We don't have the rules that you can't work out when you're on a recruiting trip. So they work out with the guys. And to get a sense of, is this a place I can spend the next 4 years at? A kid needs to know that these are the kind of guys he wants to be around. This is the kind of gym I want to be in. This is the kind of university I want to go to. This is the kind of coach I want to be coached by. And if all those things, you check the box, it's kind of hard to say no.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're on their own applying, and, you know, we give them some guidance and whatnot, but a lot of our guys now, Mike, are on academic scholarship because we've got a bunch of smarty pants in our gym.
That's perfect. What? How big's the roster? How big was the roster when you were a Big Ten competition team, and what is it now?
Yeah, so the last year we we were asked to go down to 18. We were at 21, I think, and I had to cut a couple of guys, which was really, really hard to do. So then
that was the year, was, the last year of the
that was 2021. Yeah. The year that we hosted NCAA championships, took fifth and had two national titles. But anyway, I digress. So the first year that we were a Gym Act team, we had 7 guys on a team because several of our guys transferred. One went to Nebraska, one went to Illinois, one went to, Michigan.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the guys, we had a big senior class, so they kind of loaded up on their first semester and graduated in December and kind of were like, you know, a little frosty about it, so they kind of moved on. Bad taste, you know, so they're probably not going to make too many donations to the University of Minnesota, but I get it. And then we had a couple of guys decided to stay with the program and transitioned into the Gym Act team. We had 7 guys that year, and we ended up 4th in the nation. We had a pretty good deal. The next year we had 12 guys on the team, so we, you know, just about doubled the size of the team. Took 4th place again. Disappointingly, we kind of had a bad meet, and we should have been probably 2nd or 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in 2024, our 3rd year, we brought in 15 freshmen that year.
Wow.
and a lot of talented guys. I'm like, wow, how did these guys not get recruited by NCAA teams? Because they were good. And we ended up winning the national title that year. You know, my goal was 5-year plan to win the title, so we did it in 3.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many current guys do you have now working out with you?
Yeah, we got 26 on our team.
26, from 7 year 1 to 26 now. And from all over the country, right?
Everywhere, from Maine to Southern California, man.
Wow. And so you're on the phone recruiting. It really is kind of a cool story. And you had one of your athletes compete in the U.S., was it trials this past summer?
It was U.S. Nationals.
Nationals, yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
And David Grossman, he's a junior from Buffalo Grove, Illinois. Really talented kid, and has improved a lot since he's been here. I think he just kind of has evolved at a high, quick pace. And it's been fun to watch his weak events get stronger and his strong events get stronger. And, you know, he went to the qualifying meet at the Air Force Academy in late June, did a great job, and made it into the U.S. Nationals, which for a kid from GMACT is a big accomplishment. Ended up 16th in the all-around. 2 days of competition, 12 routines, hit all 12 routines, and it was kind of a story.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
kind of a
sweet.
Big deal.
Yeah.
So he's got to try to qualify to go to the Winter Cup, which is in Louisville, I believe, in February, but he's got to go to the West Point Open the same weekend that we're going to the Windy City. So one of my coaches will take him and another gymnast, Ben Letvin, to West Point Open to try to qualify to the Winter Cup. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, man. Is there, last question just in relation to this, is there some – I don't know what the right term is, freedom or liberty. You're kind of the coach, the administrator, the athletic director. Like you're not answering to too many people here. Is there some freedom or liberty that you're that this is kind of like, hey, this isn't too bad here?
Well, the exception of the lack of paycheck.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Right. No, actually, I take, you know, it's not quite an accurate statement. I do have to answer
That's
to
true.
The officers of the club. So the students hired me.
Yeah.
They could fire me if they wanted to. So I have to keep my eyes open and make sure I, hit the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
I'd like to hope that they would never do that. But that's kind of the basis of the whole thing. And I love these guys a lot, man. They're a really good bunch of kids. And like I said earlier, hardworking, and they are dedicated, you know, to a point where, you know, the dedication level is so high that I kind of smile a lot.
Yeah. Last two, off the mat, so to speak, tell us one more time about the foundation gym so that we can help keep that funding coming from that standpoint and bring up a whole new generation of young
generation.
Gymnasts.
Well, you know, the foundation name came from the fact that the Minnesota men's gymnastics team started in 1903. Dr. Cook, Lewis J. Cook, was the first coach, right? So that was the foundation of gymnastics in the state of Minnesota. If you look at all the clubs in the state of Minnesota right now, a lot of them have people that were associated with the University of Minnesota men's program. So we have been the foundation of gymnastics in the state of Minnesota. But we're also trying to build that foundation for the kids, right, and give them a foundation of strength and agility and balance and control and body awareness. I think those are really important aspects. And movement is kind of our vehicle, right? And, you know, from this, these kids, like you said, may end up becoming, you know, soccer players or lacrosse players, and their gymnastics background is going to help them.
Yeah.
It always does. You know, a lot of kids will stay in the sport. A lot of kids won't. But I hope what they learn in our gym and in our program is going to help them, and no matter what they do.
I remember coaching my son's baseball team, and there was a kid on the other team. I don't remember what school, but big barrel-chested kid, like 13, 14 years old, big bicep muscular. And I remember talking to the coach, I'm like, dude, what do you got him going on, you know? And he's like, gymnastics.
No way.
Yeah, and I think doing those, what do you call those, the Iron Cross.
The Iron
and
Cross,
all those,
yep.
I mean, you're just building strength,
without
right?
Without a doubt,
I mean,
without
it's
a doubt. And it's all geared around body weight and control of your own body weight. Now, we do some weight lifting, but a lot of our strength and conditioning is geared around, you know, a lot of core strengthening.
Yeah.
A lot of upper body strength that we need to have to be able to support ourselves and do the things, do the maneuvers that gymnastics requires, which are pretty hard to imagine.
Yeah. Webpage for a foundation.
Yes, www.foundationgym.org.
Very good.
And that's GYM.
And last one for you.
Yep.
people, this is a lovable story, there's no doubt. It's the little engine that could, so to speak. If people do want to help, one way, shape, or form, you mentioned, hey, they've got gymnastics equipment. Hey, they've got resources to write a check, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. How can they get in touch with the club?
Yeah, they can Google Friends of Minnesota Men's Gymnastics. It'll take you to our minnesotagymnastics.org website. There's a big blue donate button. First thing you see, donate it. You know, all your donations are tax deductible because we're a nonprofit. And, yeah, we'd love to see an influx of donations come in and help these guys, you know, pay for their uniforms, pay for their grips, pay for their travel. You know, we have about our annual budget is probably about $120,000 in terms of travel and equipment and things like that. But, you know, luckily we've had some luck with our fundraising. So, yeah. But, you know, we're spending money faster than we're making it right now.
Every little bit helps, and bigger bits even help more, right?
Yep. Bigger bits with more zeros are really good.
Yes, very good. Well, hey, it was great catching up. What a story. We can let's stay in touch. I'd like to have you on as the season moves along, and we'll find out how the spring treats you guys.
Yeah, we'd love to do that, Mike. And, you know, it's been too long.
Yeah.
We talked about that as we were coming up in the elevator. It's been a while. But a lot of fond memories of our time together on the Coach's Caravan and at the Golden Goldies. And,
yes.
You know, you've been such an amazing supporter of Gopher Athletics just since I've met you a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I still have the video of you and Daryl Thompson doing push-ups in our radio booth. Do you remember that?
I do.
Up for a halftime interview to promote the program, and I don't remember what. Were you guys imitating Goldie or something? But you guys were both doing push-ups, yeah.
Well, I was trying to keep up with him.
Yeah.
He's in good shape.
He is in real good shape, no
yep,
doubt.
Yep.
Well, very good. Thanks. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Mr. Grimm.
All right. He is Mike Burns.